It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. This is episode 139, The Power of Just One. It's hard to believe, but this is our last episode on the Book of Acts for season 9. Next week, we are going to do something totally different. But today, we are finishing our study of the very early church, while it is still mostly in Jerusalem and mostly Jewish. Perhaps in some other season, we'll explore the rest of Acts, where we will meet Paul and follow his missionary journeys to the Gentiles. This last passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8 will take us out of Jerusalem for sure, and we will see how God can use just one person to change a nation. I can't wait to dive in.
It is amazing what just one person can do, Nicole. Mm. You know, God seems to delight in using those who are little to do big things.
Yeah.
So can you think of some examples in the Bible where he did that?
I know, David. We have to start with David and Goliath.
We do.
The smallest of the brothers taking down a giant. That's pretty epic.
That is hugely epic. And then using Gideon, who was in the smallest tribe, and the youngest kid, who was not courageous at all. Gideon is hiding, threshing wheat in some kind of cave somewhere, when the angel comes to him and says, "Hello, bold warrior," and Gideon's like, who are you talking to?
Are you talking to me?
yeah. Tiny again.
Yes.
Tiny again.
I think of baby Jesus. He came as a baby. That was pretty tiny.
No kidding. And not only was he born in a manger, which was a small and insignificant location.
Yes.
But he grew up in Nazareth, and everybody knows nobody good comes from Nazareth.
Right,
I mean,
I love that.
It was like the worst place to be from. It was like the ghetto kind of thing, you know? And yet, that smallness lent to such bigness. It's so, so fun.
It's amazing.
And he still uses small things today.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking about my mentor, Fern Nichols, who was the founder of Moms in Prayer International now in over 150 countries and, you know, translations of their booklet in close to 100 languages. I mean, it's just stunning how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of women pray in Moms of Prayer groups.
Yeah.
And it started with one, with Fern, who was just worried about her kids in junior high school and was like, if I could just find one other mom to pray with, so that I could just pray for them and pray scripture over them, I would feel better.
That's amazing.
So how does that happen? Fern would say, I have no idea. I think it was God.
I mean,
I know it was God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's just a simple woman that wanted to pray for her kids, and now it's this international ministry. Just one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So
I know. And I think of Sweet Selah. When I joined, I think 5 years ago, there was only 6 members, and we all sat around your little table because we could all fit.
That's right. We were still fitting at the table.
I know, and I loved it. It was just a small little thing that you had started with. It was just you, Lois, and one other person, right?
Kara May.
Yeah, that started it. Just 3 women with a heart for rest and serving God. And now look, there's 22 of us on the ministry team. We have 9 board members. You and I got to go to Alaska together. That was pretty cool.
That is true.
Faraway travels.
That is
but
true.
It's grown into something so much more.
The podcasts
are fun and the Bible studies, but God takes our little offering. He just multiplies it.
He multiplies it.
Beyond what we can imagine.
More than we can imagine, for sure. We've got followers in Nepal.
I was just going to say, and there's people in Nepal that listen to us. Like, we never would have said, hey, let's minister to the people over there.
I know. It's just amazing. I'm so grateful. So grateful. Well, we're going to look at the power of just one today in our scripture. Our main character is Philip the Evangelist again. Mm. We met him last week. Philip was one of the 7 men chosen to be a deacon in order to make sure food distribution was smooth for all those widows in the church. And then we saw him last week as he went to the hated Samaria, preached the good news of Jesus there, and saw them all, many of them converted to faith.
Yeah.
So Philip was instrumental in moving the area of witnessing from Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria, which is Jesus' mandate.
Yes.
Today, we're going to read how a Spirit-led encounter enabled Philip to spread the gospel to another country on another continent. So fun.
That's so great. Okay. I love it.
Let's begin.
We're reading from Acts 8:26-40, and I'll start with verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.
So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship.
And he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah.
The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage.
Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading?
The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him.
The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth.
He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.
The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?
So, beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus.
As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?
He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
Meanwhile, is so fun. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus.
He just found himself here.
Look at that. I'm in Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea.
Wow.
I just so love Philip. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, this we're going to break down into small sections, Nicole. There's so much to learn from this story. So let's just take it in little nibbles at a time. I'm going to start with verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. All right, so there's some specific instructions. I would like you to go south down the desert road and just walk it. Now, does Philip know what's going to happen to him there? Absolutely not. Does Philip know why? Absolutely not.
No.
Philip, apparently, I mean, I need to be more like Philip. Philip heard the word and just did it.
He just went.
I think he was having a great time.
He might have been. I know, I'm like, wait, can I have some more details, please? Where am I going? What's happening?
But he off went. He goes. He's like, all right, cool. What's God going to do with me next?
This is a happy little guy.
He is.
So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he meets this very powerful man of authority who was on his way to Jerusalem to worship. So I wonder if he was seeking. Clearly, the eunuch was looking for something. I wonder why he was going to Jerusalem to worship. It probably wasn't his gods. It was probably looking for more information about Jesus, maybe. Or maybe he was Jewish.
Just God, maybe Jewish. Yeah, I think. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He's now returning.
Right.
So he's on his way back. And of all things, there he is on a deserted road.
Right.
And a man of great authority.
That's kind of neat that he comes upon him. He didn't look like, oh, go meet him by this rock here. And
He just kind of, And so now he's returning from Jerusalem. That's verse 28. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he's reading it out loud. How fun is that?
That is interesting.
Yeah, not to himself, out loud. He's trying to understand, and maybe reading out loud helped.
Mm.
What a fascinating man he was. He was seeking God. And he's bumping along in a carriage. And what's he reading? These scrolls, trying to figure them out.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Jesus says, knock and you will find. Seek and the door will be open to you. This guy is seeking.
He is.
And of course, the Holy Spirit has him in Isaiah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, of all the Old Testament, that is a really good
It's a really great
read.
Place to put it.
Didn't have the New Testament yet, which makes it very clear. But the Old Testament, you have to really dig if you're you don't know what you're looking for. So, verse 29, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So, I love that he's just listening to God, like, okay, I'm here now on this deserted road. Now what? Well, now go walk alongside the carriage. Okay, and off he goes.
Off he goes. Sure.
He just goes, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, verse 30 says Philip ran over.
So he went very enthusiastically.
This is why I think Philip was having one of one of the best days, you know? Right. Just, this is so fun, Lord, being your
servant.
It's like
a scavenger hunt. Like, what's next? Okay, I found this. What's next?
I think it's so fun. So Philip ran over and heard the man, because the man's reading out loud, conveniently, from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? So he's not like, oh, here, move over, you know? He's just asking a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading?
Well, that's a good point.
I love that he joins in with what the eunuch is doing. Mm-hmm. He's not changing subjects. He's ready to help if it's needed, but he's very polite about it. Just, hey, do you understand?
He doesn't come up and introduce himself and his credentials and, hey, I know how to tell you. You know, he doesn't push himself on. He just kind of asks questions.
Very clever. Yeah. I liked it.
Good job, Philip.
That's right.
So the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. So this is interesting. Again, Philip hasn't said he has any special knowledge of the Messiah or the scriptures or anything. The guy's like, oh, come on up here and see if maybe you can muddle this over with me, you know? Yeah. He invites him right into his carriage.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who Philip is.
I know it.
But I think he's just so passionately looking for something. He's seeking God.
Yes.
That he's probably not thinking what he's not doing things he would normally do.
Right.
You don't often have strangers on a deserted road jump into your carriage.
I know.
Especially as a powerful man. You could be robbed or kidnapped, whatever.
Yeah.
So this is, God's definitely moving him.
Absolutely.
Beyond what he would normally do.
Exactly. And I think Philip must have had a very winsome personality as an evangelist. The kind of person you just trust.
Right. Like, oh yeah, come on in my carriage, buddy. Yeah. What do you think?
Hang out. So I'm going to read verses 32 and 33. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this, and this is from Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated, received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. This is a linchpin passage, Isaiah 53, detailing Jesus' death. And I'm sure it was a beloved text of early Christians, because it's all here.
Right.
Jesus did no wrong, and yet he was led to slaughter. He was humiliated. There was no justice in it. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in him.
Right.
He had no descendants. You know, he didn't marry. His life was taken prematurely from the earth, and on and on and on in Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
Isaiah saw this in advance, and I believe that those passages were what the early church turned to. So it was perfect for Philip, an easy one.
It was. Because he's probably very familiar with that.
Yeah.
The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. So really neat that he was able to share the gospel message right from that same passage, because he probably knew it. Like you said, it was very important to him, and that God just used what he had before him.
Beautiful.
He didn't have to add anything else but what was already there.
And it was clearly successful, because let me read 36 to 38. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. That's successful. The eunuch is like, I believe. Can I be baptized?
Immediate and
just
complete
like that.
Conversion.
Absolutely. This is amazing. The seeker was found. He wants to be born again right away. And baptism, you know, he's down into the water, coming up as a new creature. It is such a tangible symbol of what happens internally.
Yeah.
And Philip does not hesitate. He doesn't say, but you're from Ethiopia.
Right.
Or, you know, you work for a queen in a foreign country.
Right.
He just, you believe? Let's do it.
Oh, I love that.
Let's just do it. It reminds me of my brother David, actually, because David kind of walked away for a little bit from the Lord. And then he was reading the Bible one night, and he just knew Jesus was who my parents had said he was.
Yeah.
And he wanted baptism immediately.
Wow.
Because of this story. He's like, why do I need to wait?
I want
to confirm it in baptism. And so
that's
he did.
So neat.
Yeah.
We had a meeting like that at our church once. They were confirming, I think that was when we first came to the church, there was someone that had just given their testimony and he was seeking membership, and they said, well, you know, baptism is part. He's like, let's get baptized right now. I want to be baptized right now. So he drove to the neighbor's house, and they used their pool. They just baptized him in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful.
Beautiful.
There's something that happens inside of us when we're saved, that this washing of our sins and this freedom that we yearn for that outward expression of it. Like you got to see what's happening inside. So the only way let's jump in some water and see.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see what's happening.
It's awesome.
It's so beautiful.
I love baptism.
So verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So neat. What a fun verse. So I think of, this reminds me of Enoch, who walked with God and God took him forever.
Right,
but he kind of snatched up Philip. So that's, I wonder why he did that. I don't know why he just kind of took him away.
I wonder if, so the eunuch could really see the supernatural.
That's what I was wondering.
Of it all. You know, God himself sent this man to you because you were seeking.
Yes.
And just to confirm that this is true, let's make him disappear.
Right. Like now he's done his job. So now I think you're right. Because instead of it feeling like an emotional in the moment conversion, like he went back home like, well, I hope that was true. Was that just a weird thing I got from the sun? Mm-hmm. But having, I think, such a profound ending to it.
It kind of was a stamp on it.
Yeah, yeah. And then he said he went on his way rejoicing. So it didn't, it must have been a momentary startling, but then he was fine.
Yeah, well, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's got the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that stuff flowing through him.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
What a story he had to tell when he went home.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And then verse 40, meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. I see Philip as a man of great joy.
Yeah.
And also flexibility.
Yes.
He's just...
he does seem rather easy to go with the flow.
Use me, Lord. And what a joyful, joyful story. Well, one thing that I discovered, I had so much fun looking this up.
Yeah.
I knew that Ethiopia has a history of being the oldest country in Africa to have Christian roots.
Oh, wow.
And that fascinated me because here we see the beginning of the Ethiopian church. Right. One man who happened to be a very important man.
Yeah.
So I found in the Smithsonian Magazine, December 10, 2019 issue, this cool thing. So I'm just going to read it because it really kind of underlines the fact that Ethiopia had a church way before it should have.
Oh, cool.
So, in the dusty highlands of northern Ethiopia, a team of archaeologists recently uncovered the oldest known Christian church in sub-Saharan Africa, a find that sheds new light on one of the old world's most enigmatic kingdoms and its surprisingly early conversion to Christianity. Hmm. Smithsonian is not a Christian magazine. They're like, surprisingly early. How did they know about Christ? Yeah. Moving on, an international assemblage of scientists discovered the church 30 miles northeast of Aksum, the capital of the Aksumite kingdom, a trading empire that emerged in the first century AD.
Hmm.
That's like right when our Ethiopian guy was around, and would go on to dominate much of Eastern Africa and Western Arabia. Through radiocarbon dating artifacts uncovered at the church, they concluded that the structure was built in the 4th century AD, da-di-da-di-da. The discovery of the church and its contents confirm Ethiopian tradition that Christianity arrived at an early date in an area nearly 3,000 miles from Rome.
Wow, that's cool.
So I don't know, but I'm thinking...
But maybe...
I'm thinking that we just had secular archaeologists shocked about something that we just read in Scripture, that one man, Philip, was obedient to being lifted up and just dropped down wherever God wanted, who spoke to one man, who made the long trip to Jerusalem seeking and found and went away rejoicing and brought it to a nation.
That's amazing. That gives me goosebumps.
I know.
Wow.
I was so, so jazzed by it as I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. And it just shows you what God can do with one.
Yes.
Like one little David who, you know, knocked the head off a giant practically.
One
sliced it off. Yeah. And all the littles that can become big in God's hand.
Yes.
We do not have to be some big person to do big things because we have a big God.
Yes.
We can stay little. And I've told this before, but it was just so important to me when I was about to step into the role of national director for Moms in Prayer.
Yeah.
I was walking Ogunquit, which of course is my favorite place to walk. I've been walking there for years and years and years. And this particular day, I found this cove where the water was coming in, but it wasn't in all the way yet.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was the cleft in the rock, because I found like this little place to sit in the rock and just watch the waves. And it was almost a cave, and the rocks were big,
yeah,
and the waves were big. And I suddenly felt really small and was just talking to my big God about just how big his world was and how tiny I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the times where I really felt like God really spoke. And he was basically like, good, you feel small. You are. Stay small. You're about to become a national director. You stay small. You let me be big. And that message has stayed with me all these years. You stay small. Let me be big.
Yeah.
We don't have to be big. We don't have to be responsible for all the things. We just chose a new website. And we spent a lot of money yesterday. And I thought, but it's okay. Yeah. I'm small. God is the big one. God will do what God will do. Right. I don't have to be in charge. I am relieved I'm not in charge.
Thank goodness.
May be in charge. Please be in charge, God.
Yes, so, we don't have to be great or bring anything into the equation.
No.
We just have to crawl to him and say, I need you.
Right.
And then he does all the greatness.
He does. Think of Mary. One more example. Little Mary, teenager, thinks she's just marrying Joseph and living in the sort of not like town of Nazareth all her life.
Right.
Right? You know, a nobody, basically.
Yeah.
And yet what happens? God says, I've chosen you,
mm-hmm.
your womb, to put Messiah in, the Son of the living God, God in flesh. Just little Mary, from a really weird town.
Poor Nazareth.
And yet she did it. She said yes. And old Joseph was just a carpenter. He was just Joseph. Jesus was just the carpenter's son, just Joseph.
Yeah.
They were not big people.
Mm-mm.
And yet God did the biggest thing in all of history through these tiny ones. So let us never think we're too small. If there's any problem, it's we think we're too big.
Oh, true. Because then we get in
God's way.
Yeah, for sure.
Like last week when we talked about Simon the Great One.
Yes.
Oh, no. As long as you think you're the Great One, you're useless.
Right.
As soon as you realize how small and inadequate and pathetic you are, God's like, good, now we can work with that.
Exactly.
Right?
He does his best work through small things.
He does. So, okay. Well, let's look at our three questions as we finish our last little segment in the Book of Acts. What was your favorite verse, Nicole, and tell me why?
I really liked 39. There's so much fun things in here. So when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So just really neat, this beautiful picture of baptism after this man who was seeking God found him. And then this crazy little snatching away of Philip. I just think that's so funny. Just pop, take him away. And then I love the little end of that too, where the eunuch went away rejoicing.
Yes.
He was just so happy with what he had discovered about Jesus. And Philip came alongside him and helped him understand it. It was just this beautiful little journey to Christ. So I think that's really neat.
I loved that too. And I chose that verse.
Did you? Every third episode, we have to pick the same verse.
I know. And I think it's because, you know, we've walked through the stoning of Stephen, the severe persecution. We've walked through some hard things.
Yeah.
This story is just plain happy.
It's just fun.
It is. From beginning to end,
yes.
It's just happy. And so he went away rejoicing is why I chose it.
Yeah.
Because I thought, God, you know, serving you can be hard. You can get stoned to death. Okay, so that's hard, but it's also happy.
Yes.
It's also, look what you're letting me do. This is stunning that you let me talk to this person. Thank you that you let me do this.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is such an honor
when
we get to share him with people and do things. So I loved the happiness of it.
Yeah, especially for Philip, because we think that he was able to see Stephen be stoned, or he knew Stephen. He was working with him. So for him to have this like joyful moment of furthering the gospel, despite his friend's pretty terrible death, that's really neat.
Right.
He got a little bit of joy in the journey.
He's yet another man I want to meet in heaven.
Yes.
For sure and certain.
Keep that list going.
Yes. Okay. So, second question. What did we learn about God from this passage? Well, I learned, number one, God cares for the one. One man trying to figure out Isaiah 53,
yeah.
and God deposits Philip beside the chariot.
I love that. I didn't think about
just
that.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
That one.
So
man.
I love that he cares for the one. And if you read about some conversions in other countries, they came from dreams or from yeah. one thing. God, if you're seeking, he will let you find.
That's so beautiful.
And then the second thing, when we obey, and Philip was, I mean, he was running towards that carriage.
I love that.
He was an eager obeyer.
He was.
God can use us in mighty ways.
That's so,
so
good.
Those are my two.
Yeah. I had put that God grows his church his way and in his timing, and he grows it everywhere in the most unlikely places. In the heart of this man, along the side of the road, you know, the deserted road, Philip comes alongside. These things are so random. Philip probably couldn't have orchestrated that on his own. He couldn't have orchestrated that on his own.
Not in a million years. How would he know that?
No, and knowing that this man could potentially be the one that brings Christianity to the continent of Africa, like he never would have thought that was how his day was starting. He was just getting up, serving God. And just, that's so amazing to me. We don't even know the impact. If we just simply obey where he took Philip that day, what the long-term impact of that. I mean, this is 2019 they had that study.
Yeah.
It's fairly recent.
Yeah.
That they're still understanding.
They're still uncovering old churches and going, okay, so now this is even older than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
so
of course,
Philip's obedience is, you know, all the way till now.
All the way till now. It's absolutely
pretty
beautiful.
Cool.
It really, really is. So I can remember a small thing that I thought would do no good that led to a conversion of a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I'd talked to her a lot about Jesus, and she was very polite. And, you know, she's a very calm, lovely person, but not really interested in faith, you know.
Yeah.
She was part of a little mom's group I had. And one day I was telling her, it is really hard to be a Christian some days because I have to forgive and I'm really mad and I don't want to forgive, you know? So I was kind of whining at her and I was not in no way trying to convert her. I was just
venting a little.
Irritated. Yeah. And she went home and she was in the shower the next morning.
Yeah.
She started thinking about what she'd learned in college, which is that religion is the opiate of the masses, that you choose religion because it's comfortable.
Right, right.
And I was telling her the day before how annoying Christianity was and how uncomfortable it was because I had to forgive.
That's too funny.
Right?
She's and like, wait a minute.
And she said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And in the shower, she said, you know what? I want to believe in something bigger than myself, even if it's hard, and she accepted Christ.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Wow.
So, random whining.
Right, like you didn't think that was going to do anything. You were just being honest and living your life.
I know, I know.
Amazing.
God can use anything.
He really can, even when we fumble it.
Even random whining.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right, back to the questions. Number three, Nicole, what did we learn about the early church, and how can we apply that to today?
They were obedient. They were so obedient and quick to obey. That is so profound to me. Go over here and they went. Go to this place and they went. They just, they were listening to God. They were listening to him. They heard him and they obeyed.
And they did. I love that.
That's just so neat. Yeah. I definitely need to do more of that. Yeah. The listening and obeying immediately and not asking questions about how this is going to turn out or try to make it better by my own strength.
Just go.
I tell my kids, just do it. Don't ask me questions.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Yeah, and I also was so fascinated for our church. You know, we fund missions and organizations and we should.
Yes.
But we also need to look after the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one way our church does that is at Christmas time where the elders get together and for the Christmas fund decide on either one family or a couple of families, individual, unique, not a ministry, but just people that need help paying their bills, you know, getting a new water heater or whatever it is they need, just serving in simple ways. So each person matters, and we see that in this particular lesson. And I want to remember that the one matters.
Oh, God sees each one of us separately. We are His church. We are His children, but we're also His Sharon and His Nicole.
Yes,
and His eunuch and His Philip. Like we are so individual to Him still.
Right,
and that's so beautiful.
It is, and we need to notice the one in church that's lonely.
Yes,
even if we're busy and we think we don't have time for one more person.
You'll get yelled at if you don't pick up your kids quickly from the children's church.
Right, right.
Sometimes, time.
I know it. Sometimes we have to stop for the one.
It's true.
In our church.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good reminder.
All right. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this fun discovery that this Ethiopian eunuch may have been the one to start the earliest Christian church in the continent of Africa. I'm just so wowed by that and so amazed, Lord, that you answered his cry to understand. Thank you. And Father, if there's a one out there listening right now to this podcast who needs you in a special way, help them to ask, and then would you please wow them with your answer. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's a wrap on our study of the early church. I learned so much from these earliest followers of Jesus. We hope you did too. Next week, we're going to return to a topic we both love, rest. Did you find it hard to find time to rest? Or perhaps you feel guilty when you stop the busy for a bit and just sit? We can't wait to talk about this next week. We'd love to hear from you. You can comment on any episode at our website address, sweetsela.org/podcast. You can also write us directly at sharon@sweetsela.org. Please consider leaving a review on your favorite podcast app so we can be noticed by more people. We appreciate donations tremendously. Go to sweetsela.org/donations and write podcast partner in the memo line. And then come back next week for our last episode in season 9. That's all about rest. Episode 140, When Is It Time to Rest? Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.